And this is Drew Tignanelli, Money, Riches, and Wealth here. This is birthday month, Chris, so no drum beating.
It is birthday month, for all those who don't know, for the uninformed few.
There you are. I was wondering what was Anita doing with your microphone. He was trying to make you sound weird or something. But
I was switching desks.
I gave
You're
her
looking
the,
out for me.
I gave her the, you better fix that immediately, Anita, and see how that worked.
There you go. You are the man. It's your birthday month. For all those, for the few that are uninformed, that this is Drew's birthday month.
And the culmination in the month of July is the actual birthday, right?
Yeah, you got 30 days to lead up to it.
July 31st, so anybody wants to know when my actual birthday is, that's it, July 31st. I'll remember that now, right?
That's
so
right.
What's this, the 13th, the 20th, the 27th, so my birthday actually won't be on the radio show night. But that's okay. We can
celebrate it anyway.
The 27th, that's true. anyway, we're on an open show tonight. We were supposed to have a guest, and unfortunately they had a conflict.
Sure.
And so we're just going to do another open show. And our
that's great for our listeners. Sure.
Our listeners enjoy that. Last week they had a lot of great questions, so we'll see if they have some great questions this week. 410-922-6680. Again, any topic on personal finance, whether it's dealing with your estate, your elder care issues with parents, or your own situation, whether it's your insurances.
Long-term care insurance,
your
things
investments,
like that.
Property casualty, auto and home. You know, children going to college, you know, and Roth IRAs, 401ks, mortgages, you name it. We're here to address it, 410-922-6680. But let me just give my Drew's view.
Go for it.
With a topic that I've been passionate about. Nobody else seems to be passionate about it, but I'm passionate about it because I see it too often. An absolute waste of money. You hear that? A waste of money, and probably 20% at the minimum, 20 to 25% of everybody listening to this radio show, all five. So that means, so if you got 25% of five,
the numbers are higher
there's
than that.
One and a quarter people out there that this will apply to. Those one and a quarter people who are buying group life insurance. Group life insurance drives me crazy.
And I've seen it happen.
You've seen it happen, you know.
I've witnessed it.
People, you know, work with big companies or big governments or whatever, and they're buying group life insurance. The only people who should buy group life insurance are people who are unhealthy,
right?
You know, have a health problem, or people who smoke cigarettes. They're the people that should possibly is the operative word there, consider group life insurance. But if you think about group life insurance, most of the organizations I see do not subsidize your group life insurance. Now, I'm not talking about the free stuff they give you, Chris. If it's free, it's free.
Yeah.
You know, that's great. I'm talking about when you're paying that little, you know, they say, well, it only costs like $20 a paycheck, you know? Well, $20 a paycheck times 26 paychecks is like $500 a year. $500 a year for a 30-some-year-old person buying $400,000 of insurance could have bought him almost $2 million
right.
of insurance.
Of a term policy.
Of a good term policy. And, you know, hear me. Listen, if you're out there and you're buying group life insurance, you're making a major mistake if you're relatively healthy. And you don't go drop in the group life insurance right away. Go buy private term insurance and buy it for a period of time that's logical for your risk management situation. And you will save a lot of money. And you will be able to buy a lot more insurance for that money. And in addition, here's the big thing, Chris. Every year your age is divisible by 5 on group life insurance. Your premium goes up. You can normally lock the term private policy in for like 20 years
right.
at a cheaper rate for more insurance.
Sure.
You know, now that's one. Number two, if you leave the organization and you go to an organization that doesn't have group life insurance and all of a sudden you're unhealthy, you know, you can't take the group life insurance with you easily. It's not portable, as they say.
Right.
Whereas the private policy is yours until it runs out or until you decide not to carry it anymore. Anyway,
you don't get underwritten on medical policies, but you certainly get underwritten on life policies.
Yeah, and but if you're healthy or relatively healthy, it's the way to go.
What percentage of people do you think are walking around 30s? Kids, with woefully uninsured, underinsured.
Well, if it's any you know, it's almost 95% of everyone we meet.
Yeah.
Rarely do we ever have somebody come in that has the proper amount of life insurance and the right amount. So let's go to Dave in Columbia. How can we help you, Dave?
Hi, Drew. I have a question about a rolling over some money into a Roth 401.
Now, you're talking about rolling it over. Are you talking about going from your traditional 401k over to your Roth 401k?
So, early in my career, I was contributing to after-tax savings plan, which became a 401k. So, I have a significant amount of money. It's already been taxed. And I was thinking about moving that into a Roth so I could just start to put everything into one account. Is there any pitfalls that I could run into doing that?
Not necessarily, but my strong suggestion would be, Dave, that you roll that after-tax money, wherever it is, into a Roth IRA and not into a Roth 401k, because there's just so much more flexibility in the Roth IRA than in the Roth 401k. The laws are very different. In the Roth IRA, if you ever need that after-tax money again, you can just take the contribution back out without any problem. In the Roth 401k, once you put it in there, you're not getting it out easily. I mean, you could get it out. It's just going to take time and effort to get it. Or you're going to have to leave the company. So I even though you want to get everything into one account, which I am very much in favor of, always to have clients consolidate, simplify, I'd prefer you to keep your 401k at wherever it is and then roll this after-tax money from your pre-account into a Roth IRA.
Okay, good. Now, is there a time frame limitation that has to be in a Roth IRA before you can get it?
There's a provision that you can't touch the Roth IRA until you're 59 and a half years old. How old are you right now?
I'm 57.
So when you're 59 and a half and 5 years have rolled by, then you can get the money out all tax-free. But the minute you do it, Dave, you can always get back your cost basis, the amount of money you contributed after tax to the 401k previously. You can get back immediately after you roll it over to the Roth IRA.
Okay, so it's only the earnings that
earnings, growth, and dividends you have to wait 5 years on after you roll it over to the Roth IRA and 59 and a half, okay?
Oh, sounds great. Thank you.
All right. We got to run to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth, answer your questions. Personal finance has become a major area of stress due to the increasing dangers and complexities of the global economy. Personal financial management is a comprehensive approach to combating these issues, and the financial physical is the first step. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. The financial physical begins with an objective analysis of your personal finances and ends with a plan to help achieve your goals. Experience the difference of the financial physical and learn how personal financial management can revolutionize your financial well-being. To learn more about the financial physical and the other services we offer, call us at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-7283. Or the easy way to remember that, 410-823-SAVE. Or visit us online at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com. And this is Money, Riches, and Wealth. Drew Tignanelli here with Chris O'Shea. We're doing an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask your question. And Anita gave me a message here. I don't know if it's because she wants to call her company, but she says, can you give company name and phone number? Thanks. So... is that no, you don't want it yourself, Anita?
You get her laughing quicker than anybody I've ever seen.
Somebody else wants it. So it's Financial Consulate is the name of our company. We're in Hunt Valley, 410-823-7283. 410-823-SAVE is the way we easily remember that. And obviously, I can't remember it. So.
You only came up with it, I don't know, 28, however many years ago.
We did that almost... Yeah, you're right. We did
that in like 89, 90.
No, I think we did it when we... Yeah, well,
after
maybe
that,
you're right.
Yeah,
anyway.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
We're going to Social Security question with Sherry in Pikesville.
Thank you.
How are you?
Okay, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So here's my question. If I start taking Social Security at age 66 based on my own work record, can I switch to half of my husband's when he begins to collect at age 70 if that amount is higher?
How old are you right now?
I'll be 66 in a couple of weeks.
Okay, and how old is he?
He'll be 66 in a couple of weeks also.
You guys like twins?
Just have birthdays close together.
Yeah, you got to worry about Andrew sometimes.
So, did you not work very much?
I didn't make that much over the years. So half of his would probably be more than mine.
So, what was his salary basically?
He would probably be eligible for the max amount.
Okay. And what was your salary approximately?
Maybe $25,000 a year.
Was it $25,000 a year for the whole 30 or so years, or did you take a lot of breaks and you really only have about 20 years maybe at the most?
Yeah, that's more the case.
Raising children and all that kind of good stuff.
Yes.
Okay. So let me think on this.
Okay. So mine would... they said my amount is about $950, and half of his would be more than that.
Okay.
So based on my own work record, it would be about $950.
So the answer to the question is if you wait until you're 66 years of age, you would actually be able to go in and claim Social Security at your age 66, okay?
Yes.
And then what I would recommend is consider having your husband go in when he turns 66, and he can claim half of your Social Security
right,
at 66.
I've yeah.
And then when he turns 70, he can then go in and claim his Social Security, which will be 32% higher, which would put him in more like the $3,500 a month category.
Right.
And then when he goes in and claims his Social Security at age 70, then you can go back in and claim half of his at 70, and you can both have a pretty nice boost in your Social Security in 4 years.
Right. That's what we were thinking about it.
You can do that. You can definitely do that. But if you go in... If he goes in and claims his Social Security of his own, and then you go in and claim half of his, you're done. That's it. That's what you'll get.
Okay.
Am I making myself clear there?
Yeah. But I can start now. He can collect half of his. And then
no, half of yours.
I mean half of mine.
Right. So you're only going to get about $1,300, $1,400 combined for the two of you
right.
for 4 years.
Right.
And then in 4 years at age 70, boom, you two are going to go up to like $4,800 a month or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, right. Okay, that sounds great.
All right.
Okay, thank you very, very much.
All right, Sherry, you take care. We're going to Ben in Pasadena.
Hi, Drew. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing great. How about Chris?
Yeah.
And Chris. How are you doing?
No, I'm doing fine, sure. Yeah.
I turned 70 this month, and
okay.
I'm assuming I have to take my first RMD in January of next year.
Are you still working or are you retired?
I'm retired.
You're retired, and your money's in a 401k somewhere?
That's correct.
When did you turn 70, did you say?
This month.
Ah, no, you don't have to take your RMD until next year because you don't turn 70 and a half until January of 2017.
That's what I was assuming.
So your first one, you could take it in April of 2018 if you wanted to. Take two
well,
that year, but not that you'd want to.
Yeah, you don't become RMD required until next year. And like Chris is saying, since it's your first year, you actually can wait until April 1 of 2018. There's very rare circumstances where that works, but there are circumstances where that would work.
Okay.
So, yeah, you don't have to do anything this year if you don't want to.
Okay. I have a mixture of pre- and post-tax money in there. When they do start distribute, which of the two piles does the money come out of?
Well, you're saying you put after-tax money in the plan?
Yes.
Okay, so what I would suggest is you immediately roll over your post-tax money into a Roth IRA.
Right.
It is critical that you do that, Ben, because people like President Obama and the person that thinks that she's going to become president next year do not want to allow you to roll post-tax money over to Roth IRAs anymore. And if they succeed on that, you will be stuck with a bad deal. So get it done ASAP, my friend.
Can I interact with – can you help me over the web on that? Or do I have to come into your office?
Well, we can do it over the telephone and so forth. That's not a problem. We do, we work with clients in the Jordanian embassy in California. So remote location planning is not difficult. We got clients in, what, 30 states in the country right now?
Yeah, and then there's several countries.
Several countries, that's right. All right, Ben, you know our number?
Got it. I got it here. I just got it from you. Very good.
All right,
Ben.
Thank you
very much.
Take care, sir.
I'll be calling you.
All right. But it is a critical, you know, if you have any post-tax money.
Well, yeah, there's no sense in waiting.
It was like the other guy called, and, you know, he said he had a whole bunch of after-tax money. I wonder how he got that, because he must have been really contributing a whole bunch of money to some plan, you know, like Northrop Grumman. I know they allow it. So,
yeah, sure. A lot of the bigger corporations allow. When I was with a company that had 10,000 people in the U.S., they allowed us to do that.
Yeah, so Northrop Grumman, if a client is contributing something like $30,000 a year, only 24 of it is allowed to go pre-tax, and then the rest of it's all got to go post-tax. And that's the money that can get rolled over to a Roth, and it's a good thing to do. But watch this, Anita. Get a smile. We're going to traffic. It's exactly on time. Hopefully you're ready. Are you? Let's see. Take it away, traffic. You need help organizing your financial life? You thought about what retirement looks like when you go beyond just the numbers? The financial physical is the first step in working together to organize your personal finances and your goals. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent, fee-only firm. Call today to schedule your financial physical and experience the difference. Learn at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com. Or 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
So what makes the start of Maryland's steamed crab season so important?
All right, babe, I'll tell you. I just called the Crackpot Restaurant and asked that very same question.
And?
The Crackpot Restaurant said that the Chesapeake Bay crabs are the best-tasting steamed crabs.
Anything else?
Well, I saved the best for last. The price of local crabs is much cheaper.
Now that makes sense. Local crabs and cheaper prices. See you at the Crackpot Restaurant in Towson.
From the Fox Business Network, record closes for the Dow and the S&P. The Dow gaining 24 points to close at 18,372. The S&P up less than 1 point. The Nasdaq lost 17 points. This may be good news for some Europeans. Pokemon Go is now available for download in Germany. It's the first country on the continent to get official access to the app. According to the Fed's Beige Book, which gives a snapshot of economic conditions, the U.S. economy has expanded at a modest pace since mid-May. The report also says consumer spending was generally positive. Norwegian Cruise Lines has a new ship called the Seven Seas Explorer. The ship's Regent Suite costs $10,000 a night. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Carol Zimmer.
Not available in all states.
Whoa, what do you have there?
It's a Reese and Irvy's frozen yogurt. We just had our robot make one.
A robot made your frozen yogurt?
Yes, the world's first fully interactive robot vending machine that serves 9 flavors of delicious yogurt with 6 amazing toppings. And it's available for an exclusive franchise opportunity.
How do I get my own Reese and Irvy's robots?
It's easy, but you better act now. Locations and machines are going fast. Just go to froyofranchising.com and enter promo code 3131. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 3131.
This is Sean Casey. The sudden and shocking death of our colleague and friend Tom Marr has affected us all. Thank you for your many messages of sympathy and support. I know the Marr family appreciates them all. After many inquiries from listeners, sponsors, and staffers, and with the permission of the Marr family and the church, WCBM will broadcast Tom's funeral mass live this Friday at 11:30 a.m. from St. Joseph's in Cockeysville. Join us in prayer and remembrance.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
What's that supposed to be, Anita? What's that?
Music.
That's music. Oh. I thought maybe it was a television show we're doing, not a radio show.
Yeah, it almost sounded like a little Mission Impossible.
Yeah, something like that, you know?
Just a more hip Mission Impossible.
Hawaii Five-O, that was a cool show.
The new one?
No, the old one.
Jack Lord.
Yeah, the old one, back in the 70s, right?
Yeah, 60s and 70s, I guess.
Yeah, you know, now they have...
I did watch them.
They had some cool music at that show, right, back then? I don't remember.
The coolest part of the show.
Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. We have nobody online. We had people we thought they were going to call in, and they're like really interested, and then all of a sudden they
That's what happens with the break, so we're back online.
Disappeared, 410-922-6680. They probably listened to our answer to those first three or four callers and said, well, this isn't worth listening to. So
not at all. Man, not at all. We were talking off the air, follow-up to the question on Social Security, because of the rules that... Basically, our buddy, Dr. Kotlikoff, wrote a best-selling book. Everybody in Congress all of a sudden sees what's going on, and they and the president decide that they're going to outlaw these strategies, these Social Security strategies.
The two of them, the deeming strategy and the file and suspend strategy.
So there's still strategies to employ, but it's changed the game.
Right. Yeah, you got to be. You still need to be doing Social Security maximizers because there are tons of ideas that you can do, and
any situation is different. It just kind of depends.
And so that's why we would suggest to Sherry that she should do a Social Security maximizer. You know, and there are plenty out there that you can do. We do it for our clients all the time. Whenever we do a retirement analysis, we're doing a Social Security maximizer to see what's the best claiming strategy. Doesn't mean we have to employ it, because just because it's maximized, it may only max. We looked at a client just recently. It was like $20,000 differential between one scenario and another scenario over the lifetime. And so we just decided to stick with the one, because if they would have died earlier, the other scenario was the better scenario. So anyway, we're going to a few callers here. Joe in Westminster, Roth IRAs, how can we help you?
Yeah, this is Joe. How are you?
We're doing fine. And you, Joe?
Great. So you were talking earlier about my situation, because I happen to work at Northrop Grumman.
Okay.
And I happen to max out on my 401k contribution at what is it, $24,000 a year.
Okay.
But Northrop Grumman's system sucks, because they have you contributing a percentage that cannot be rounded to an exact $24,000 limit at the end of the year. So I end up overcompensating and end up contributing several thousand more each year, and it slowly builds up.
Into the after-tax part.
Perfect. Yeah, that's exactly right. So that's what
happens. Now, let me ask Anita first. Anita, is he allowed to say sucks on the air?
I won't say it again. I apologize.
I won't say it again either. That sounded like a Donald Trump move, you know?
Right.
Anyway, go ahead, Joe. So you got all this after-tax money. How old are you now, Joe?
I'm 54.
54. One thing I would do, Joe, is go to Northrop Grumman and ask them if you're allowed to do an in-service withdrawal of your post-tax contribution amount.
And that would just be for me to pocket it and use it as I want?
No, 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 no. I want you to roll it over to a Roth IRA.
Right. Now, that's what my question has to do with.
Yes. You should.
I maxed out on my regular one, and I've looked into it several times on the Internet
about Roth IRAs, and I don't believe I'm allowed to contribute.
No. Joe, you're talking about contributions. Contributions have a limit on your income. I'm
right.
talking about a rollover, a direct rollover from a 401k plan. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, Bill Gates or Donald, you know, or Donald Trump or Warren Buffett. You can make any amount of money, and you can do a direct rollover from a 401k into a Roth IRA. And, you know, and the best way to do that is only with after-tax contributions. So it's your contributions that were deemed after-tax. You want to know, can I do an in-service direct rollover to a Roth IRA of that money? And my guess is there's probably a 75% probability they're going to say yes.
Okay, I know they do offer a Roth IRA option.
No, you're talking a Roth 401k option.
Oh.
That's very different than a Roth IRA option. But if they won't let you do an in-service direct rollover your after-tax money to a Roth IRA outside of Northrop Grumman, then the next question you should ask them is, can I do a direct rollover of my post-tax 401k money into the Roth portion of the 401k? And
okay.
that they should say yes to, and that would be a good move also, but the better of the two moves would be to get it out into a Roth IRA.
Start the clock.
What's that?
And start
and
the
start
clock.
Start the clock, yeah, and lots of other good reasons for
yeah.
it. Starting sure. the clock is a good reason. 5-year rule,
yep.
right? So he's 54, he'll be 59 and a half. He starts it right now. By the time he's 59 and a half, you know, he's in like Flynn on the Roth, too. If you need any help, Joe, you should come and see us, and we can walk you through it with Northrop Grumman. But you need to make sure you got these rules down, because you don't want to make a mistake on it, okay?
Okay.
All right, man?
Thanks. That's great.
All right. Take care. Let's go to Trust Funds and Stephen Laurel.
Okay. My dad has passed away. My mom has about a $2 million estate.
Okay.
And it's all in, like, stocks and bonds and stuff, not real estate. Okay? All right. And she has a revocable trust. All the accounts that she has, four different accounts, they're all named in the revocable trust.
Sure.
Okay? And she has a revocable trust document,
sure.
which indicates that she will be dividing her estate upon passing to four different people.
Okay.
And so, with that as a background, the four different accounts themselves, first question, they have beneficiaries named.
Well, that's funny because
the beneficiary should be, is the question, should be the trust itself. Is that correct?
Well, you know, what kind of accounts are they? Are they regular brokerage accounts or are they IRA accounts?
No retirement.
Okay. So they're all regular brokerage accounts. The regular brokerage accounts.
Bank accounts, CDs, that stuff.
The regular brokerage accounts and bank accounts should not have transfer on death registrations on them. The revocable trust in and of itself, titling,
sure.
should take care of everything.
Right.
There should be no TODs, transfer on deaths or beneficiary designations on those accounts. And if they are, I would suggest you either come see somebody who knows this stuff, like ourselves, or you should go to a lawyer who wrote the revocable trust and say, somebody's doing these transfer on deaths on these accounts. Is this correct? And I'm positive the lawyer's going to say, no, get those off of there.
Okay, so mom is still alive at the moment, so we want to do this ahead of time, right?
Absolutely.
So there is a revocable trust document which mm-hmm. indicates where, you know, how the assets
yeah.
should be divided.
Right, and the titling takes care.
And the titling is in the revocable name of the revocable trust now. That's all done.
Okay.
So
the titling takes
no
care of everything.
Name, like if the bank hands a statement saying, well, who's your beneficiaries, then don't fill it out. Is that right?
There should be no.
No.
Normally, it's unusual for a bank to offer a beneficiary designation on an account unless you ask for it. Or a brokerage firm to ask for, you know, offer a beneficiary on a regular brokerage account or a regular bank account. Only on IRAs and retirement accounts do they typically offer you a beneficiary designation form. But if you have them and you've done them, you should either not do them if they offer them to you, or if you have them, you should get rid of them. And I can only say that if you're absolutely certain that the titling is the name of the revocable trust. The beneficiary designation is only going to confuse the party.
Yeah, it's confusing us because he had the accounts open before the trust. So it was just a regular old bank account.
Oh, then that's probably why. Yeah, so that's why. That's why. Yeah, that's, you're absolutely right. That would make perfect sense. Your dad went in, he put beneficiaries on all these accounts when they were joint with mom, and then all of a sudden dad dies, and lawyer says, okay, retitle everything to revocable trust, but nobody thinks that he's got TODs out there already on him. You know, you just need to get the TODs off. If they're in the name of the revocable trust, it takes care of everything from that moment on the titling of the revocable trust. Okay?
Wow. Okay. So what do I tell the bank to do with the...
Just tell them to...
That old beneficiary form.
Just tell them to get rid of them. Just tell them to eliminate them. It's very simple. We do it all the time.
They're not operative anymore. They just don't count.
Well, technically that'd be true, but I'd rather them be eliminated, have the bank void them, period. Just have mom call them and say, I want to void them, and they would just pull them and eliminate them. They would have no beneficiaries anymore on them. Transfer on death is what it's called.
Yeah.
Or pay on death. All right?
Okay, because they trump a will, but they don't trump a trust. Is that right?
They don't trust trump titling. And the titling of the account says the revocable trust, so therefore the titling of the revocable trust trumps the beneficiary designation. You're absolutely right on that.
Very good. Thanks,
all right,
sir.
Buddy, take care. I got to go to traffic. Take it away. 75% of adults agree they could benefit from advice and answers to everyday financial questions from a professional. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consult. We strive to serve as a leader in educating the public on personal finance topics through our Financial Pulse and Consulate Journal. For these publications and learn about our personal financial management services, visit our website at DrewTig.com, DrewTig.com, and follow us on Twitter at TheFinCon for educational updates.
See, your kind of music.
Noah would have found us Hawaii 5-0.
She's going to put a bucket of water over your door or something.
Anyway, we're here on an open show. I got to go before I get hurt. 922-6680 if you want to call in. We got about time for maybe one or two or three more questions or four. 410.
Just keep them going.
410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask your question. We're on an open show today. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. We probably have time for a couple calls before the end of the show. You know, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about group life insurance.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to reiterate that it's a topic that too many people waste money on, and they do it foolishly because they don't control the policy. And so if you're out there and, you know, either you have group life. I mean, we had a client in just recently. They're 63 years old, planning to retire in a year or two. And they're buying group life insurance, and they're more than set for retirement.
Right.
So, you know, they could keep paying like $1,000 a year for two more years, $2,000, with the chance of collecting $250,000. But if they don't die, that's $2,000 literally down the drain. I don't know why you even consider the statistical odds of that. You know, it's just ridiculous, and it's a bad bet anyway. If you win, you lose.
Yeah, well, we do We do illogical things.
Yeah, well, we do. But it's easy. You know, group life insurance mm-hmm. comes across easy because, you know, it only costs you $10 a paycheck or $20 a paycheck or $30. Or you put it in motion 10 years ago and you just let it glide. And next thing you know, you're up to $80 a paycheck and you're not even paying attention to it.
So we know that group life gets your blood boiling. We don't even want to talk about accidental death and dismemberment, do we?
Well, you know, if you brought up Aflac, I think I would just get sick on the show. You know, that's a group that just drives me absolutely bonkers, you know? Aflac.
Tell me what you really think.
Don't even say that name in front of me. Anyway, that's another story in and of itself. John on Social Security, how can we help you?
Yeah, I have an ex-wife that I was with for 22 years.
Okay.
And she's not getting married until she said she's going to collect half my Social Security.
It doesn't matter, but go ahead.
Okay. I was just wondering, you were saying earlier that I can collect half of her Social Security.
Well, let me ask you this question, John. How old are you right now?
I'm I'll be 60 years old next month.
Nope. I mean, you know, I guess I should take that back. Did she earn more money than you?
No, I earned the most money.
Okay,
but,
then no. Unfortunately, you and Chris and I, we're all under 62 years of age on December 31st, 2015. And because of that, the government now says that we, anybody under that age on December 31st, 2015, will no longer be able to go in at our full retirement age and ask for half of our spouse's or ex-spouse's Social Security and allow our own Social Security to grow until age 70. It's called deeming. They're going to deem you regardless when you collect at 62 or 70 or anywhere in between. They're going to deem that you have to take the higher of the two. The higher of the two, either yours or half of your spouse's, and therefore you will always have to claim your own, John.
Okay. Also, I am married now.
Okay.
But does my current wife get half of mine and my other?
So, you know, actually, now you just said an interesting thing. Since you're married at this point in time, and if you're married when you're 62, you can't even use your ex-spouse's account anyway. You had to be unmarried at 62 years of age. So you're out for the ex anyway. So your question with the current wife was what?
Can they both collect on him?
Ex-wife gets half, what does the current wife get?
It doesn't, your ex-wife, you could have six ex-wives who can collect against you, and...
it's not really collecting against you.
It doesn't matter. Divorced spouses can collect against you. It does not affect your current wife and your children at all. So you don't even have to worry. It doesn't affect you at all. It doesn't affect your current wife at all. It doesn't affect anything. It's just the way the law works.
Okay.
All right? So she can collect against you, but it has no impact on you and your current wife.
All right. Thank you.
And the only reason she can collect against you is because she did the thing that you said. She said she was going to stay unmarried until 62. And if you die, you know, then she really's got some planning strategy. So, you know, hope that planning strategy never gets taken advantage of, John.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
All right, thank you.
All right, you take care. And it gets complicated, you know, because
it's circumstantial.
You know, because we kept saying that you can't deem, you know, half your spouse or et cetera. You got to take the higher of the two. There's an exception to that. The exception is if somebody dies. So if somebody dies, now I can go in and choose either survivor's benefits or my own benefits. And if I choose survivor benefits, I can let my own benefits accumulate until age 70. But if I choose my own benefits at 62, I can let my survivor's benefits accumulate until I'm 66, if that's my full retirement age or whatever my full retirement age is. So there are all kinds of strategies, and you have to understand all the nuances.
Sure, it's
of
the one that
rules.
They just got with married couples, allowing them to do this choosing which social... which benefit they were going to choose, and let another one grow. That's the thing that they eliminated.
Yeah.
And but if you're still in the special situations where it's death or divorce.
Yeah. You know, and see, you know, and when people say to me, you know, Social Security's not going to be there when I get older. You know, that's bull. That's absolute ridiculous. People who say Social Security's not going to be there when I get there, you know, and so forth. And, you know, even if you're 25 years old, these are the people that print the money. There's no way that the system is going down, period. But what they're going to do is they're going to continue to do these little nuanced things where, you know, Social Security was tax-free and now all of a sudden it's taxable. And Medicare was one premium for everyone, but now all of a sudden it's a one premium for different people at different rates. And, you know, one time you could deem and now you can't deem anymore.
Sure.
You know, and all this kind of stuff. That's the stuff that's going
to
change.
Don't nitpick it to death.
Yep. Anyway, we're finished for tonight. Next week, we'll be back with another open show. I'm giving out the phone number, so call now. Anyway, this is Rick Tignanelli saying God bless.